In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we will celebrate one of the minor feasts of the Lord. This is the feast that we call it, and we all know it as Thomas Sunday. And it's a feast because we celebrate the confirmation of the belief of the Church about the resurrection of Christ. The Lord Christ's appearance today to St. Thomas was not something that's intended for him only as an individual, but also for the all of the Church. We all now enjoy this firm faith, knowing that he rose from the dead, and one of the evidence is when he showed himself to St. Thomas and the disciples a second time after his resurrection. The Lord said to him, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." So today we will talk about 3 points, and I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it today. Maybe we'll continue this, maybe another time, maybe a couple of weeks ago. The first point is, why is doubt now a religion? And the second one is the doctrines of this religion. And the third one is about the deceit in this kind of new religion that's spreading around us. Unfortunately, this kind of religion, and I call it a religion, as I will specify why now, because people are embracing this kind of doubt, and they live with it and want everybody to believe as they believe, or they do not believe. So the first point is, why is doubt now a religion? What is a religion? Religion is the absolute conviction, meaning I believe in this. This is not shaken in my mind. I live by the values that I hold from this belief. As the dictionary defines, religion is a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects. If I say that this is my religion, this means I believe what is in it. I live by the rules and values that is dictated by this religion. But what is doubt? Doubt, on the contrary, is a status of uncertainty where I am not sure, where there are questions with no definitive answers. But unfortunately, when this status is embraced, not only embraced, but promoted, and I want everyone to disbelieve like me, then doubt now is not a status where I feel uncomfortable. On the contrary, I am very comfortable with being doubtful, and I want everyone to be doubtful like me. And this is the problem that unfortunately not only people in the community around us, but also in our own homes, we have people who want to embrace the status of doubt and becomes the religion, and they want everyone to believe like them. Let me also again give an example. What does it mean for a doubt to be a belief? Imagine this example. A student in a school, and then at the beginning of the year, the teacher or the instructor came and said, "This is the curriculum, this is the book, and you will have a test at the end of the year. I want you to study very well. This test is going to be really serious, and it will decide or determine your career or future." When this student says, when he goes back home, and his parents ask him, "How do you feel about the test?" And he says, "You know what, I'm not sure about having a test or not." And then they ask him, "How do you like your school?" And he answers back and says, "It's just a school like other schools. I'm not sure if this is the best school or not. All schools are the same. What do you think of your instructor?" "He is a good man, but he says his curriculum is the only way that make me to pass the test, and truly I'm not sure." And then when they ask him about the book, "Did you get the book?" And he says, "Yes, a good book, but people around us in other school districts, they say there is another books. This status should make anyone scared. The parents and this child should be feeling like there should be some answers. If I continue like this, how am I going to face the test? Imagine the child who comes from school with this mindset. He says to his parents, "I am comfortable like this. I am not sure about anything, but it's okay. We will just see." If he says this, then doubt now is not something that make him feel uncomfortable. On the contrary, I am confident of being confused. Look how these terms are now are used alternatively. The motto of this religion is what? I am not sure and I do not want to be. That's it. Not only so, but I do not want any of you to be sure either. When you say that I believe this way, I will come and I attack you and I will make you to doubt. Why? Because I am a doubtician. It is not word in the dictionary, I made it up. But anyhow, everybody makes words up. The English now is full of dude and things like this. So I want everyone to be doubtful, confused. And I call this open-mindedness. This is to be liberal. This is to be politically correct, that you speak a lot and you say nothing. And at the end of the day, this is not to offend anyone. This is how to be decent and kind and nice. Don't ever say, this is the truth. You cannot utter this word. It's offensive. This is unfortunately the most advanced now, or like most progressing religion around us, that people embrace and they want to promote and want everyone to be like them. When you are not sure, you go and ask, what is the answer? But when you are comfortable being unsure, then that's it. Your answer is, I don't know, I don't want to know. Usually those doubticians, if this has now become the religion, they are Christians, unfortunately, or they say they are Christians, but usually I am a Christian, but. And all of you all understand that whenever you put but, then whatever comes is just going to cancel whatever is said before it. I am a Christian, but. When someone come and say to you, I am an atheist, my belief system, I don't believe. Okay, fine. When this person says that I am a Buddhist, or I am a Hindu, or I am a Muslim, then your mind is ready. I understand your belief system. I am on guard. Whatever you say, I know where you come from. But when someone come and say to you, I am Christian, you know, sometimes I go to the church, then you are off guard. And you start to entertain the idea or ideas that this person is trying to get you to believe. That's why it is very dangerous when people embrace this under the title of being open-minded. Let us go and review what is the doctrines of this religion. Every religion has doctrine or doctrines and a set of belief. The first one, I believe in a God, maybe a goddess, maybe gods, maybe a supernatural, but I believe. Again, let us go back and say, if you are a Christian, you believe in a God who is a triune God, a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible says. If you are a Muslim, you believe in a God in a certain way. If you are any religion, you have a set of belief. But when you say that, I don't know the Creator, the person who is going to examine my heart and is going to judge me at the last day. How can anyone feel comfortable like this? And people say, why he is not a goddess? Maybe you are a feminist. Why he is not supernatural? We call him something. God, by definition, has to reveal himself to the people that he wants them to worship. If we do not know him, so what is the point? This is not a religion, but many people say, let us consider him as an intelligence, as sometimes people like to call God. The second doctrine is, religions are set of moral codes, and you do not need one to go to heaven. Good atheist will make it to heaven, if it exists, of course. So here, look at this statement. Religion is emptied from the doctrine. It's only a set of belief. Just if a set of moral code, meaning if you behave in a certain way, this is good for you, this is good, fine. This is what all religion is all about at the end of the day. Whenever you tell this person, let us talk about doctrine, about God being a Trinity, about the incarnation, about the way of salvation, about baptism, about communion, then you find this person get offended and say, what is the big deal about all of these things? Why we complicate things? Why we just make it easier for the people to understand? Just be nice and kind and loving. Let us talk about this. Emptying religion from the doctrine makes it void. When Nicodemus came to the Lord the Christ, the first thing that the Lord started his talk with him is about, unless you are born again from water and spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Fortunately, Nicodemus was not one of the doubters who came and say, let us talk about love, about kindness. Let us put the doctrine aside. This complicated thing will make us not to agree, and I want to be in good terms with you. Some of the Christians believe that good atheists will go to heaven, that they themselves deny its existence. This is insanity to say that. What about good atheists who behave very well and they are very nice people? Wouldn't they make it to heaven? How do you go to a place that they deny its existence? How this is going to be forced on them? God is going to shovel heaven in their... Okay, I am here, you denied me, but I will get you to heaven because you are kind people. What kind of nonsense is this? Sadly, this is what's promoted and what the people agree on. This is being kind, kinder than God himself. God who spoke about right and wrong, I think if he would appear to us again and speak what he said, people will call him a fanatic, an extremist, because all what he said was exclusive. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by me. Who can embrace this? Now, the doubters will definitely wouldn't favor it. The third doctrine of this religion, the third lie, I am not religious, but I am spiritual. I'm sure that you all heard this expression before. What does it mean to be spiritual? Spiritual means a person led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads the spirit of this person and make him to behave and live in a certain way. God instituted the religion so the people who are flesh like us can live as spiritual. Religion was instituted by God to help the mortal become immortal, to help the carnal to become spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual and not religious? I do not fast. Why should I do this? But if you do not fast, your body will always be having the upper hand. How can you become a spiritual being while your body is overruling and running your life and forcing you to do anything that he requests? How can you become spiritual if you don't pray? If you are not getting close, and this always the answer is, oh, religion is something that made up by other people. I am a spiritual being. This is numbness to the conscience. I make myself feel good by saying this statement, and that's it. I don't need a church, I don't need a Bible, I don't need anything. I already diagnosed myself, I'm a spiritual being. Religion is bad. Religious people are fanatics, they do not make sense and all this kind of stuff. And they still say, I am Christian. And this is the most disturbing. The fourth doctrine of this religion, I'm not sure if heaven or hell truly exist. Maybe they are just a state of mind. God is good. He will not burn people in fire. Again, it's not up to us or them to define what God is going to do. If I say this, where did I bring this from? It is my common sense, or what I think is common sense. Why common sense will bind God in any way? Is God is going to judge the people at the end of the day by the common sense of the people? Our common sense changes from time to time. If you say to your son or daughter, don't touch this or other way, you will burn yourself. Don't put your hand on the stove, otherwise you will burn your hand. If the child still violates this kind of command, and he goes and plays with fire, and he ends up burning his hand. Did the father burn him by saying to him or her, don't touch fire. Is this the cruelty of the father that made this son to burn himself? Or this is a choice? When God says that we have to be closer to him, he is life. If I choose to be away from him, I am choosing death. And if I choose death, why do people blame God for this? God is going to throw people in fire. The gates of hell is closed from within. We get ourselves in and we shut it on ourselves and then we blame God. You get me into this. Well, how God will do this? The question itself goes back into, okay, what God is going to do exactly? Then the person says to you, I'm not sure, but if you are not sure, why not to go to the book that tells you what God is going to do? If you do not believe the Bible, get for yourself a book and believe it. But don't come with something and make it up, and then you say, this is what God is going to do. One time I heard a sermon, and this is for the head of one of the major churches here in America. And this lady kept on talking about how God is going to accept everybody, no matter whatever your sexual orientation is. You are a homosexual, heterosexual, it doesn't matter. And I kept searching for her speech, searching for one verse from the Bible that she uses in order to say that whatever I'm saying is right, and I couldn't find any. Unless, of course, like few things about God's love and all of these verses that the people abuse. God is not going to do this. God is going to do that. Who told you this? Do you have a certain connection that gets information from you directly? Or what? If you have a book, believe in it. Otherwise, you are starting a new religion. Unfortunately, many people believe this way. They are comfortable like this. The fifth doctrine of this religion, religion is man-made. It is more of a cultural set of morals. Meaning, if we are in the United States, we believe in a certain way. If we go back to Egypt, people believe in a certain way. This doesn't make what we believe right or wrong. It makes it the dictation of the culture. And people speak like, wake up. Unfortunately, many of the kids, they argue with their parents on, you are from Egypt, I am from here. As if like whatever said in the Bible will differ, will be different where we talk about it. If we talk about it in Egypt, it has a different meaning. If we come to the United States, it's totally different set of belief. Religion is man-made. Is it? What is said in the Bible about religion? All of what God said in the Old Testament about how people worship, even in the New Testament, when we hear in Acts 13 about the people before they ordained St. Paul, they fasted and they prayed and they laid hands. There was some kind of a rite. When they ordained deacons and they conducted the service in a certain way, where all of this come from? But it's easy to say religion is man-made because I do not want to follow it. This is my justification to myself why I'm not religious, because religion is hoax, just like people are making things up. The sixth belief or doctrine of this, I am a Christian. I don't pray, I don't read the Bible, I don't go to the church, but God is in my heart. If he is in your heart, why you don't talk to him? Why you are not really following what he said? Why you don't come to his church? I don't believe that God has a church, but he said he has one. St. Paul says about the church, this is the foundation and the pillar of the truth. If this is the Bible, what says? This idea about God is in my heart is very subjective. God speaks to me. God said to me in my heart that this is and this and this and this. What is this? How would you know that you are not delusional? How would you know that you are really leading yourself in the right way? How would you know this? God spoke to me. God is in my heart. I know God more than anybody who goes to the church. Anyhow, this is something that if you are a Christian, you live by what Christianity is saying, how the Christian people would live, how would the church and the Bible says we should conduct ourselves. The seventh belief is, I am a Christian because I was born like this. people's religion is decided by the family they are born into. I think this is what God wants. If not, then why did He create us like this? God did not create the people to be different in how they know Him. We made it up. Human beings are the one who altered what God said. We are the ones who made for us ourselves sects, churches, places to worship, idols in our own minds. People, when they blame God why we are different, they forget the fact that religion is a choice. Yes, when we are born in a certain family, it is hard, it is difficult, but it is not impossible. Why? Because we can see around us every day, people are moving from whatever religion to another one. This means what? They can think. God did not deprive humans from the ability to discern and to choose. Imagine a person born in a family and they are all gangsters. They all work in mafia. Does this make the child born in this family, he has to live as a thief or a robber, a murderer? Means about what is the belief should be, and he said it in a way that there is no doubt. When he says, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, what else he can say to assure us that whatever we are partaking is his body and his blood? What is exactly missing from what he said in order for people to believe that this is a fact? If you don't believe, say that I'm not a believer. But don't play the game of I believe but, or maybe, or all this kind of stuff. The last point I'm going to talk about today and continue this topic maybe in a couple of weeks. If you are comfortable with what you do and you are not hurting anyone, then you are right. Isn't it what God wants? Is it about how we feel comfortable? Is it about our convenience? Is religion is about if I feel good about myself? How can a person believe that if I am comfortable in whatever I'm doing, then this is fine. This is fine with God Himself. Like one time this pastor kept on preaching to the people in her church, God wants you to be happy. You don't come to the church for God, you come for yourself. Is this the case? I come to the church for myself, not for God? But again, this says what? Now man is God. Whatever I say is good, I feel is good, I'm not hurting anyone, what's the big deal? If I'm in a relationship and I'm living with someone and outside of the marriage sacrament, what is the big deal? Why anybody would be bothered with this? This is, according to the Bible, has a term, has a name, and this name is sin. Who decides what is sinful and what is not? Is it us? Is it us who makes the book, decide on the curriculum? The problem is not that the people embrace this kind of belief, but they want everyone to believe them. If you have a debate with anyone who believes this way, and you say to him, this is not what the Bible says, he will look at you as a fanatic. And you will be actually grilled if you dare to declare, I believe this, I don't believe that. People feel offended when people say that I believe. As if the status should be for us, I don't believe, then you are a good person. You are open-minded, you are kind, you are considerate. If you believe, you are judgmental. And this is something that, of course, we should not be. We will continue this topic, maybe in a couple of weeks. We pray that God would confirm our faith. We live by it, we practice it, we declare it. We are not shy to say to our children, make them to hold on it. We do not want to meet God as doubticians. We want to meet God as true Christians. To the glory, to the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.